ask that you anoint this teaching and let us hear what you would have us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name. Well, there's a lot going on tonight. And I said, Lord, what's going on? You know what he told me? Anybody interested?
Yes.
He said, I'm breaking off the religiousness. I'm breaking off the religiousness. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
We don't want religion. We want Jesus, right?
That's true.
We've been a stiff-necked people. All of us people can be stiff-necked. And we've been just as guilty. And God's breaking off our stiff neck, and he's giving us a unity of the brethren in a new way. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Anybody else thankful? Everybody
Amen.
Awake tonight?
Yes.
Are you sure you're awake? No?
I'm here.
Hallelujah. Scott's here. How about Justin?
Right here.
You're here? How about Daisy? You here?
Yep.
All right. All dressed up like a little queen for her daddy. It's Father's Day. And we just blessed our real father, didn't we? For all you fathers out there, I have to say, as the pastor, I am so privileged to be a pastor to all you men. You are all so awesome. Not one of you are not, I'm talking to each Justin and Ryan and Dr. Tellers and Dr. Neil, if he's on the line there, and Scott and Aaron. Who else is missing here? Of the fathers. Who else is missing? Somebody else missing? Somebody's missing. Who is it?
But you mentioned Brian Moore?
Yeah, he's right here.
What are you? He appeared. He was transported from his house.
He was out there. Yeah. Well, I mean that sincerely and honestly to all you fathers. I am mightily blessed because each one of you are pressing into the mark and you're doing all that you know to be all God's called you to be. And that's all you can be until God makes you something else. Right? Now, I have to say this. That doesn't mean you're perfect, but that means God's perfecting you
yes,
and you're cooperating. That's
yes,
right. No. It means that God's perfecting you and you're cooperating. And that is amazing because most people are not cooperating with God. They're just not. But God's waking us up, waking people up. And this great awakening is awakening God and awakening men to their place, awakening us up. So I better get my notes now that I've been distracted by almost falling off the bridge. Just making it. Let's turn to Genesis. Genesis 1. I want to talk about the Father's blessing tonight. Why is the Father's blessing important? Well, first of all, I'm talking about our Father in Heaven's blessing. And second of all, you fathers are called to bless as well. So in Genesis 1:22, and God blessed them after he made what? The birds. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and the fowl and multiply on the earth. So there was life and he blessed life. And in the evening and the morning was the fifth day. And then God said, let their earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things and the beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth. And God saw it, and it was good. And then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish in the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, for it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning was the sixth day. Well, what is interesting is God said he spoke the blessing over all the living creatures. It didn't say he spoke the blessing over the trees and all those other things, but he spoke the blessing over the people and over the living creatures. And thus, as our Father and our example, God gives us the ability to bless as well. And he expects us to use that the same way he used it, because being blessed is very important. And he blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it, because that in it it had rested from all his work. So he blessed a day. What day did he bless? The seventh day, which was kind of interesting, but I'm not going to go in that direction right now. The direction I'd like to take this tonight with Father's Day is that the purpose of the spoken word and the blessing is to impart the ability to fulfill God's purpose on the earth and for the building of his kingdom. It is an impartation, and it is spoken, and it is speaks of benefit, favor, peace, and goodwill. Now, many times we have had blessings over our children in this service, and we've all spoken blessings in many ways. And I think, and when we have a presbytery and give a word of the Lord, that is an impartation or a blessing as well.
Yes.
So Jesus received the words of blessing and affirmation when he was baptized from his Father. When he got baptized, the Father affirmed him and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, there were a lot of other examples of blessing in the Old Testament, but it's interesting that Jesus received his Father's blessing, and it was spoken. And there was evidence of that being a part. When the dove came down, there was evidence that that was imparted to him through the Holy Spirit, visibly. Our words impart something that can be visible. May not be visible at the moment we're speaking them, but it becomes a reality, a part. I remember when I was in psychology in high school, and one of the things that impressed me was the study that we talked about with all the babies that were over in the orphanages in the countries that are very poor, and how they did a study with these babies, and they didn't touch them for like 9 months, and the babies didn't grow, and a lot of them died. And this, to me, shows what a touch can do, but what about a word spoken? Have any of you, which I know you have, if you want to think about it, had a word that was imparted to you by a teacher, a mother, a father, that absolutely influenced you in a way that was either really, really good or really, really bad.
Sure.
And that thing stuck with you. Words impart things to us that affect our lives very specifically. I remember I had a teacher in high school or junior high or wherever, whenever it was, and his words affected my ability to learn. And it wasn't a positive word. I think he meant it to be positive, but I went up and I asked for help because I didn't know what I was doing, right? I needed help from a teacher. And he looked at me and he says, "You're too smart to ask for help. You can figure this out yourself." Well, he might have thought he was, I don't know what he thought, but that really, really made me feel horrible. And it affected a long time, my ability to learn for a long time. And the words that my father spoke, he didn't understand what he was saying. He spoke negative words to me, and he was always telling me certain things, and they affected my life. They affected my ability to learn. And it wasn't until I was in college, after I'd had my children, that I heard that word again and again when I went back to college, and I still couldn't, retain knowledge. And I asked the Lord what was wrong. And he said, "You need to get the curse of your father prayed off of you, and you need to forgive him." Well, I wasn't even thinking I hadn't forgiven him, but my father had spoken words that were curses. And when we get angry sometimes, we speak negative things to our children, and they can affect them the rest of their lives. I mean, I was in my 40s when I went back to college, and that was still affecting me, and I didn't even understand that until the Lord pointed it out. So after the prayer, I was able to study. I was able to get good grades and pass my test. It made a huge difference after that was broken off of my life. So the words that we speak to one another and the words that we speak to our children are extremely important. But one of the biggest things that is important is the blessing that we pronounce over them that can steer their lives. And that is essential. And that is important for you fathers over your children as you're speaking to them, to know what God has for your children and ask God to show you how to bless them with your words. And we can even have, I feel like God is saying sometime in the near future that we can have a actual service of bringing blessing to our children. We don't have time to do that tonight, but I want you to be thinking about that. And as you men write some thoughts down about God, and as you're praying for your children, to start writing some thoughts down. I would like to have a service where the fathers bless their children with specific things that God's given you. So be thinking about that and write these things down. I asked Dr. Tellers to bless me. And we had one night we had a service, and he blessed me. He gave me a father's blessing. My father never blessed me. And the Lord said, "Ask Dr. Tellers to give you a father's blessing." That makes a huge difference when you have a blessing, a father's blessing. And it can impart the purposes of God in directing your lives. So if Jesus needed it, we all need it, right? He got it when he was baptized. And what was one of the first things Jesus did? He went up to the Mountain of Olives and he began to proclaim blessings. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are, and pronounce what blessings were. He was speaking blessings. So blessings are very important because they impart the will of God. And this is extremely important for you fathers. And also, if you fathers have never received a blessing from your father, and you have a father that's still alive, you might want to think about asking them to speak a blessing over you. Now, some of you may not have fathers that understand that or know what that would mean, but you know what? I've seen it happen before, that when fathers did that, it came, they blessed their children, whether they believed it or not, whether they thought it or not, they took it seriously. And they spoke to their older children, to their adult children, blessings. It can make a difference in your life. And it gives you an opportunity also, because a lot of us have things in our heart that we have judged our parents for, or we have unforgiveness toward our parents, especially even our father. And those things, we're not even aware of them until they start. We have to start facing these kind of things. And God wants to clean out any old business that we're so used to being around that it's become a part of us and we don't even know it's there. And there's a lot of old business. I didn't realize that I needed to forgive my father for all the things that he said to me. But when the Lord showed me that, that forgiveness released me in a way I didn't even know I needed to be released. And I was like a Christian for a long time. That was the first thing that God had me do when I was saved, when I was 14, is to forgive my father, because I really hated my father. My father was not the kind of father that I thought he should be. And I really hated him as a teenager. And there's a lot of teenagers that hate their fathers. Not the little ones, but there's a lot of teenagers that hate their fathers for various reasons. And I was not real happy with my father. And that was the very first thing the Holy Spirit put in my heart, to forgive my father. And so I asked him to help me, because I didn't know how. I was just 14, just got saved, but I knew I had to forgive him. And God helped me, and I knew because he helped me forgive my father and love my father, I knew he was real. Because he confirmed the first thing he did for me was help me to forgive my father. And that was a powerful thing. So what we say and what our fathers, you say as fathers, can have an impact on your children. And you may not even realize, or may not even mean anything particular. You may say something, you know, in jest or something funny, but it comes across to your child differently. And so there are times that God may show you and bring something back that maybe you said that impacted your child, and your child's not even aware of it anymore, but it becomes a part of the MO that directs him or redirects him. It's a major thing, because words mean something. And the most powerful words in a child's life are the words of their fathers and mothers. But fathers have that God-given place in your family as the priest to speak the blessing, and that will carry power. Now a mother has the ability to bless her children too, but that place of the head of the household that directs the direction of your household, you fathers set the pace of your household. Women carry out the pace. They're the heart. They carry out, beat the blood, but you set the pace. You're kind of like the brain, I guess. You could say that. Uh-huh. You direct.
Say it again. Preach.
Well, the heart can't function without the brain, and the brain can't function without the heart, so they go together very well.
Subconsciously, the brain keeps the heart beating, and the strength
comes out. No, I'm just talking about logistics. I'm not talking about how brainy fathers are, okay? I'm talking about the function of the family has to have direction and has to have a head, and it's got to be a father, okay? Now, if there's no father in the home, guess what? The mother has to function twice. But the father is the one. Is that right, Dr. Taylor?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Please say amen.
Oh, of course it's right. You keep going. I like it.
Well, when the brain dysfunctions, what happens?
The heart.
The heart beats the brain to death.
Well, if the brain dysfunctions, there can be dysfunction in the home. And there can be problems for the heart's blood to get to where it needs to be. Okay? So, it's important. God put husband and wife together as one. But there's also different parts. We don't all do the same thing. You know, the men can't have the babies. And the women are the ones that have to bring forth life. The men are the ones that have to direct things. They have to be a part of that too, obviously. They impart the seed, obviously. And what you plant brings life. But it's the woman who carries that life. So as you think about these things, men, and think about what the brain does, and think about your role is very important, and the woman's role is very important. But she needs to know that she is loved, and you need to know that you're admired. Now, what's a brain says? People need to know I'm brainy, right? They need to know I'm brainy. And the woman needs to, the heart needs love, you know? So that's pretty simple. But you men set the tone and direct the way things go. And it's very important that you know, as a father, that you're responsible to God to set that tone in the home. And what you do or don't do makes a huge difference. Well, God didn't ask you to do this on your own, thank goodness. He gives you a mantle. And you have to depend on Him for everything. And that's kind of hard. Because you cannot father, you cannot priest your home without the help of the high priest.
Amen.
You cannot. You're going to mess it up. So you have to depend on Him every day. And in some ways, your wife has to depend on you every day. But she also depends on the Lord to get you moving. And vice versa. And vice versa. But fathers, the ones that I have seen in here, you're doing a great job. And you need to be encouraged. You need to really, I have been around churches for a long, long time. And I have been with young families because I was a young family once. And I have seen a lot of fathers. And this church, I'm just very, very privileged to see every father in this house doing what he can to bring about a godly influence on his family. And I'm just really blessed to know each one of you and to be a part of your lives. And the Lord wants you to know He's pleased too. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes, but you know all things work together for the good. The mistakes you make, don't feel guilty. Just move on and God's going to bless it. You know, He's going to bless your mistakes. Blessing the children with a spoken word is changed my family's life at one point. We did it when the kids were probably, most of them were teenagers, when we learned about the blessing and imparting the blessing to our children in a formal setting. This is really important. One of the ladies in our church, and Dr. Tellers and Sharon know them, and they were the Gleatons. Remember the Gleatons? She wrote a book called The Blessing. And it's a very, very well-written book. And when she wrote that book and the things that she taught, she brought it to our church, and we had these times of blessing our children. Or you could do it at home. You don't have to do it formally, but it's nice to do it in the church. The same way it's nice to do in the church, the presbytery. Every day blessings don't have to be formal, but there is a time that you can have a formal blessing for your child. And I think that that is just as important as a type of presbytery, actually, from the parents, actually, is what it is. And I felt impressed that the Lord wants us to do that sometime in the near future. So every blessing, you know, if you look in the Old Testament, you see blessings in the strangest places. When I decided to do this message, I started asking the Lord. I said, Lord, who are the good fathers in the Bible, you know? And I had to really think hard, because a lot of these fathers were pretty rough, you know? They were lacking in a lot of things, and yet God, you know? And you can see, the thing about the Bible is all the stories about our heroes They all had big faults, the same like we did. And they all, and you can see how it affected their children in ways that should teach us what not to do. I mean, look at Eli the priest. That was a pretty sad story. A very sad story. But God straightened it out, but it took another person coming in there, another prophet. But it wasn't a good story. And there was a lot of bad father stories. There were bad father stories, and I can remember good father stories. And it's really funny if you think about it. When you go in the Bible and you think about all those characters, there's not a whole lot about fatherhood in a good way. You hear all the mistakes. It's like, Lord, I know there were some. Well, we know that Job was a good father. I mean, he was so good that he was overcompensating. He was going and doing their worship for them so that they wouldn't get punished. Anybody else think of a good father in your mind?
I think of the patriarchs, Abraham. I mean, he had mistakes, but his sons inherited that blessing from him.
Yes, they did.
Abraham loved his sons.
Yes, and he got the blessing from the father and passed it down to the children. That's right, he did.
Jacob, Israel, especially loved the younger ones.
And all the blessings. He pronounced blessings to each one of his children. Most of them were older. They weren't children. But we can speak them to our children. And there were many blessings. Many blessings. Rebecca, her whole family blessed her before, they gave her a blessing before she left to go marry Isaac. The whole family blessed and sent her with a blessing. And there's little stories in there where there's a lot, there were blessings. Blessings. And so, I would think that all the men of God, of all the men of God who had trouble with their kids, David is the first one that I think of because of Absalom. Mm-hmm. And I think, my goodness. But that, you know, he might have been a busy father.
Yep.
You think? A very busy father. But don't ever become too busy that you don't remember who you are, men. And who you are to your children. You are the biggest influence in their life. And what you do or don't do makes a difference. And I do want to say, after studying psychology quite a bit, and I probably think Kelly will back me up on this, most every man and woman who have trouble, I mean big trouble, with addictions, it has to do with their parental authority and what was not done in their family, the blessings that weren't there in their family. And we have a fatherless generation, the second or third generation now in this country. And I think that's very evident in what we're experiencing today. So many fatherless children. It grieves our father. I can't even talk about it without sensing his grief. It's very grievous. Jesus doesn't. He wants everyone to have a father. But we do have a father in heaven who loves us. And because my father was not a loving father to me, I pressed in to know Jesus first. And our relationship with God has a lot to do with our relationship with our Father here on earth. It's really influences us in ways that we don't realize. And I'll explain that because I know there are some people, we all have it in some ways. But when our Father is a very strict Father and very hard on the children, we see God first as children, the way we see our father. And it goes, it's without exception. Most children The father in the home represents God in the home. And it's a very powerful thing. If you have a very strict father, you'll find a lot of people with addictions, perfectionism, obsessive compulsive things, because there was a father who was so strict and had such high expectations or no expectations and just very stern and erratic, and there's no you never know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And in some ways that's how it influenced me. I never knew what to expect. I never knew what I was going to get punished for or yelled at next for. And so I didn't know. I struggled with that for years, of not knowing what it was that God was expecting of me. And it wasn't because I didn't read the word, but it was difficult to receive love. So you fathers are very loving fathers, and don't let that stop, because that makes a huge difference. Huge difference. I don't think my father ever hugged me. I don't ever remember him hugging me. And when I got married, I heard somebody wailing in the church. I mean, wailing. And it was my father. I didn't even know who it was. So I don't know what happened, but he was wailing. I was an only child, and I was leaving, getting married. So I'm sure his father had an influence on him. And so if we don't get past that, and we don't help our children get past that and be loving to them, they're going to view, it's going to skew how they receive their relationship with their father. And I don't have that anymore, but it was a very strong sense of who I was and who I thought God was and how my father acted. And if you think about it, we all have that influence in our walk with the Lord from our father, every one of us. So I just want to encourage you, Father, to impart blessings to your children, and speak them out as much as you can. Give them compliments, love on them. It's okay to correct them, but when you're loving on them, they're going to know that you love them, and they're going to receive that correction correctly. So happy Father's Day to all you wonderful dads. You are really, really a blessed family in this church. And I'm just really thankful to know you. And God wanted you to know that he was pleased with you. All of you. Amen. I'm going to have Scott and Justin, can you serve communion tonight? Thank
you. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it. And he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take all of you and eat of it and do this in remembrance of me."
Likewise, he did lift up the cup and he said, "This is my blood shed for you, so that your sins may be forgiven and you today would know the goodness of the Father. Take this, come and take the body and blood."
Jesus.
Yeah.
Carry the saint